People that think science has all the answers are the people who tend to panic when things start going wrong.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Fred Williams.
And I'm Doug McBurney, Bible student, science geek, amateur comedian. Fred, it's great to be back with you in a brand new year.
A brand new year. It's 2026, so happy new year to everyone. Doug, we're honored to be on KLTT here in Denver.
Oh, that's right.
12:30 p.m. every Friday. And we have reruns on Saturday.
Reruns on Saturday for those of you who missed it on Friday. And we're on, 12:30? Prime time in radio.
That's right. And yeah. If you're watching on YouTube, welcome to the show. And please do the usual like and subscribe and share and leave your comments.
And if they're nice comments. Don't leave bad comments.
Yeah,
that's not necessary.
It's so bad for us. This is so stressful.
We have we have fragile psyches.
Yeah. You know, I really like it when we get the negative comments. I remember some of my, I don't know if I want to say this, but, you know, Abby at first was kind of taken aback by it. And I was like, Abby, if they're being negative and hateful towards you, just remember they hated Christ first. You're doing something right. If everybody's loving you and what you're doing and you're presenting the truth of science like we do, and they're loving it and they're all on board, we're doing something wrong, Doug, because the world hated Christ first. We're going up against the world. It's a big spiritual battle, and we're glad to be on the radio to fight for the science that supports the Bible, starting with Genesis. And we've been doing that for years. It's been an honor to have the listeners that we've had through the years. We've got a growing audience. And when a friend says, does science have all the answers, and then they panic, and you ask which science, which year, which measurement, I mean, we're here at Real Science Radio. We're going to give you the real science, hence the name of our show.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of fake science out there, Doug.
That's right. And I've noticed, Fred, people that think science has all the answers are the people who tend to panic when things start going wrong. But those of us who understand that this is all created in order by the living God who has all knowledge, well, we don't panic. And we follow the science, Fred. We follow the science, and we've been following it here on Real Science Radio. I mean, if you go all the way back to when you and Bob started the show, it's over 10 years now, I think.
Oh, actually, it's more like 20 now, I think.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Fred, yeah. don't say that. Don't say it's been 10 plus, something like that.
Yeah. Anyway. More than a decade.
Time flies, Fred. It's 2026 means I graduated high school 40 years ago. That's just scary.
Oh, yeah, that is. Yeah, good point.
But you know what? I'm not going to panic because I remember that in the Bible, God didn't call Abraham until he was like 75. And then he called Moses when he was 40. And then Moses had to go to the backside of the desert for another 40 years. So it's all relative, Fred. Oh, and we're going to get to something on relativity, right?
Yeah, we are. And you know, Doug, I spent 30 years in the dark as far as science goes because I went to public schools and I was taught that dinosaurs are millions of years old and the earth is millions and millions and millions of years old. And lo and behold, somebody at work challenged me and he said, you know, evolution's a proven fact. And I'm like, I didn't think that was true. I mean, evolution was always so silly to me, but I did buy into the millions and millions of years. So I started looking into it and I was just shocked at all the stuff that I found out about science that you never hear about in the public schools, at the museums, on TV. You're just inundated with millions and millions of years. And yet the evidence is very much against that. We use secular science on our show probably 90% of the time. We're using the same science that the secular world discovers.
Sure.
But they put their interpretation on it, one that they want to put on to make you not believe in Genesis. It really is a spiritual warfare. Their big goal is just as long as the earth is more than, you know, even say 200,000 years, then it disproves Genesis. They'll do anything they can to get the earth old.
Oh, and Fred, people may not realize, but back around the time of the Renaissance, that's pretty much where this all started was, if I'm not mistaken, it was around 20,000 years was the first assertion by the secular left in Europe about the age of the earth. And now it's, well, I forget, Fred, it's somewhere in the billions,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think they're at 4.6 billion, but I'm sure they're going to, you know, they'll keep adding and subtracting. And, you know, as long as it's well past, like you said, even 20,000 years makes it hard to fit with Genesis because the genealogies give you roughly 6 to 10,000 years is what theologians who are serious about understanding what the genealogies say will get you. So,
yeah. Well, Fred, as the lie gets more and more complicated, well, I shouldn't say it that way. I guess as the lie gets more and more drawn out, you have to keep adding elements and aspects and alleged facts. And so it just gets bigger and more complicated. And now we're at the point in history, I hope, Fred, where this whole idea of evolutionary cosmology is just this giant calliope that I hope is going to soon just collapse of the weight of its own silliness.
Yeah. And we're hoping, you know, with shows like ours and YouTube and whatnot, we're going to get this truth out. And one of the things we're going to mention, we're going to look at the past year, some of our favorite shows and some of the shorts that we did. You know, Nicole did a short that went viral.
And so did Abby. Yeah.
Yeah. And Abigail did one also. And
Fred, by the way, Fred, that's one of our viewers did remind me that, you know, the good looking girls got all the best views. And he said, you two guys. Well, he said, you two guys are great, but you're not that easy on the eyes.
Yeah. When our producer, Dominic, told us that we had to go to YouTube, I told him, come on, man. I got the perfect face for radio.
That's right.
But here we are on YouTube and up to, I think, you know, we're over 73,000 subscribers. So we made some progress in the last couple of years since we went on to YouTube, which is great. But, you know, talking about Nicole and a show you guys did on gender insanity. So one of her shorts that went viral, I mean, it had, I think 40,000 views in the very first month that we aired it. And it was on how this crowd mentality.
Oh, and
it's so true how if somebody keep telling a lie long enough, people start to believe it. It's like, oh, that must be true. And so the world just goes along with the science that they're fed, the so-called science, the fake science. And we've seen that through the years. If you're watching this show and you're a conservative, you know that that's the case with things like global warming and so many other things they try to foist on you. Yet so many people still believe in millions of years, despite the fact that there's lots of evidence against it. I want to play that short, by the way, if we can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nicole, just so you guys kind of have an idea what we're talking about. So if you radio listeners, I think you'll get the context from the audio, but you can always go to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@realscienceradio.
That's right. And so for those of you watching on YouTube, now your eyes get a rest.
Yeah, exactly. Let me find that show really quick and let's go ahead and play that.
In an experiment in the 1950s, social psychologist Solomon Ash, he had a really cool experiment where he had seven actors, seven fake participants, and one real participant in his experiment. And so he drew three lines over here on the chart, and then he'd give his participants a card with another line. And he just asked them, I want you to match this card to the correct line, the same length line that I drew on the chart. For the first few rounds of this experiment, his actors would go and they'd put the card on the correct answer. And then he'd see what his real participant would do and he would pretty much do the same thing. But then over time, he would have his actors purposefully put the card, match it to the incorrect line on the chart. After doing this a couple times, the real participant was looking around and, you know, he's like, well, it's obviously wrong, but everybody's doing that, so I guess I'll do it too. And he would put his card under the wrong answer. After doing this several times, he said on average about one third of participants who were placed in this situation went along and conformed with the clearly incorrect majority on the critical trial.
So true, Doug, with what we see with science.
That's right. And before you know it, Adolf Hitler wins the election.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Which he won with about a third of the vote. Just, I mean, I'm just saying.
I want to look back at some of our favorite shows. Now, that was one of them. You and Nicole were sitting in. I was on assignment.
And that's
you did
right.
That great show on gender insanity. You know, back in that same month, last January, we had Dr. Rupert Sheldrake on, and I think that was one of my favorite shows of the year. You know, we've had so many great shows, and I don't think we had a single bad show last year that I can think of, and I've had a lot of favorites, but if I had to pick a couple, that's one maybe I want to start with.
Oh, yeah. Sheldrake was phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. And I like his, what was it called? Interphase, let's find it here.
Locking, international phase lock, not international.
yeah, it was.
Intellectual phase locking.
Yes, exactly.
Classic.
Intellectual phase locking. So
yes.
So what Rupert Sheldrake did, just to summarize that, and I encourage our audience, go back and listen to that show or watch that show. He was on the, what's it called, TED TV, TED channel?
Yeah, yeah.
They banned him.
They banned him from TED.
I think they took it off TED channel or TED TV, and then you can still watch that episode.
You can only get it on shortwave radio now. Yeah.
Yeah, CB radio, driving across Kansas.
That's it.
So basically, he dug into historical measurements of the speed of light and found that published values changed over time. So when he asked a metrology expert about it, he was told it was, quote, the most embarrassing incident in metrology. And instead of saying fudge, he preferred the phase. He told Dr. Schubert, it's intellectual phase locking. And so basically they tied the speed of light to the meter, to the thing that measures it. So you can never, ever detect a change in the speed of light again because you're tying it to the very thing that measures it.
Uh-huh.
So if the ruler gets longer, you know, well, the speed of light didn't change, the length didn't change, you know, but they're not going to tell you, well, the ruler got longer. They're tying it to the meter. So anyways, it was a real interesting show. There's so much more with that, you know, with like animal intuition and like this information that seems to transcend, you know, what we actually can understand.
Yes, yes.
Really fascinating show.
Yeah, and Fred, whether people agree with Sheldrake or not, he forces viewers and listeners to confront the fact that a lot of what's called settled science is just a bunch of people settling on just following the crowd.
Yeah, exactly. Just like
good stuff.
Short gets to. Yep.
Oh, so, now before we go on, Fred, hold on. Sure. Because one of our goals for 2026, it's the first show of the year. We have to set some goals, you know. So like going to the gym. We want to keep Real Science Radio on KLTT AM 760, the blowtorch for the gospel in the Rocky Mountain West. And so you can help us do that by subscribing to the show. You can go onto the website. You can make a donation. You can buy some of our products, which we're going to get to. We want to do some more products. But we need help to stay on the air, on the terrestrial radio that still reaches a lot of people who would never find us on YouTube. Help us stay on the air on KLTT. The most beneficial thing you can do is to buy the products because they'll help you. But a second would be to sponsor a show, sponsor a month's worth of show, sponsor us for a whole year, send us to the moon. Yes. All right. So help us stay on the air.
Yep. And you can go to store.rsr.org. We have a new store, and we're going to be adding more products to it that you alluded to, Doug. And also, you can help us out with our YouTube channel because we've been getting all kinds of positive feedback on what our producers are doing. We've got a couple of video producers who do just a fantastic job. So if you are a radio listener, please give our YouTube channel a view and just see the fantastic stuff and the work that they do for us. And anything you do to help the show also helps our video content and, you know, producing the best quality stuff that we can get out there to you. And, you know, the video is reaching a lot of people, and that's why we were pretty much told, hey, you got to start doing a YouTube channel because the number of people you reach. And, you know, we had another short that went viral. You know, Abby did one on an asteroid possibly heading to Earth.
Yeah, it's still heading to Earth. Yeah.
Yeah. And that video is still heading north in views. Yeah. It's up to, let me see here. I think the last time I checked, it was over 340,000 views. So that's a lot of eyeballs finding out about the hydroplate theory.
Yeah.
So, hey, for our audience, that's not a really long video. I'd say I want to go ahead and play that one. Let me find it here so that those who are listening and those who haven't seen it. Yeah, so this thing's approaching 340,000 views right now.
Wow.
And it has over 66,000 likes. And here it is.
Oh, now does it have any unlikes that make Abby feel bad?
Well, you know, the percent of likes is 99.3. You know, it's funny. You look at some of our shows. Like, for example, Satanist Aaron Raw admits evolution is wrong. That's a short that's done really well. We've gotten almost 17,000 views on that. That has 63% likes. So there's been quite a few unlikes on that one because you get the atheist hit on that one.
Yeah, but our skin is pretty thick. Abby's got to feel pretty good about the 99-plus like rate. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think that one just because of the title of the short, it's Asteroid Approaching Earth with a Twist. It gets people to click on it and watch. And it's totally scientifically based, but it pulls in Genesis, the truth of the flood. Let's listen to that really quick.
Asteroid 2024, YR4, its chances of hitting Earth in 2032, rising. Scientists are watching it closely, but here's the twist. NASA had discovered materials on asteroids and comets that are only found on Earth. One of them, serpentinite, found at the mid-oceanic ridge of all places, a giant crack across the world, like stitches on a baseball. Could this serpentinite be a remnant from the fountains of the Great Deep, as mentioned in Genesis during the global flood? And if so, could this asteroid 2024, YR4, a remnant from a past judgment, be part of a future one? Let me know what you think in the comments.
Oh, yeah. That
one.
Capitalize on people's insatiable appetite to see the end of the world and then throw in some creation, some hydroplate. Just genius, Fred.
So speaking of hydroplate theory, we're going to have Brian Lauer on next week. He's going to go over a recent hydroplate conference. What was that called, Doug? It was Hydroplate Celebration.
Hydroplate Week of Celebration. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so Brian's going to go over the highlights of that. And so we'll spend more time talking about the hydroplate theory. We definitely advocate for that here on the show. And that's a good dovetail into our RSR Media part of Real Science Radio. And we're going to be producing a booklet, and hopefully in the next month or two, which will be something you can hand to homeschool conferences or laypersons on the hydroplate theory, the basics of it. And that'll be good timing because the 9th edition of Walt Brown's In the Beginning will be coming out soon, I've heard. Doug, it's going to be really soon. So we're hoping in the next month also. And so RSR Media is our media arm, and we want to start producing more material, such as a hydroplate booklet. We have other plans on quantum mechanics, special relativity. Maybe we do a booklet on the list of not so old things, which is something Bob Inyart started back in the day. Those shows have always been popular, and so many other ideas that we have. And whatever you can do to help, like Doug mentioned, you could sponsor a show, make a donation. There's a lot of really good ideas we have. We want to do more targeted shorts, more, we take shorts out of our long video form content, and those do pretty well. Many of them do really well. But the ones that really seem to stand out are the standalone shorts. So we need to plan on doing more of those this year. And so much in the hopper here, Doug, for Real Science Radio.
Lots of good stuff, Fred. Lots of good stuff. And we need your help. So don't forget that. Don't make me go off on another tirade asking you for help. Just send us large bags of cash or actually just sponsor a show here and there through the year. And if enough people do that, we'll be able to stay on the radio. We'll be able to focus on videos. We'll be able to produce more shorts, which means we reach more people, which means we get their attention so that hopefully we can give them the gospel and help them to, just stop following the crowd over the edge of the cliff.
Yeah. And speaking of following the crowd and, the wisdom of the world being foolishness to God, that was really probably the number one reason I had rejected special relativity, because special relativity claims that time is relative. And first, I don't think that fits the Bible. That's a whole nother show. Mm-hmm. But it's also the wisdom of the world. You know, Einstein was an agnostic at best. The world just loves him. Time Magazine, Man of the Year, all these things. So one of my other favorite shows from 2025 is when we had Dr. Pete Moore on.
Oh, yeah.
And the title of the first show we did with him was Einstein Wrong?
Yeah.
And I wanted to play a brief clip from that because it kind of ties in with Sheldrake, too, on the whole speed of light thing. The speed of light isn't as constant as we thought, and there's other things, aspects of how light works, and maybe its special relativity isn't the explanation for it. And there's this whole thing with Mercury's perihelion, and I wanted to play a brief clip from that show we did back in the summer, and I'd encourage people to go watch that whole thing. It was a really good show, and let me pull that up.
And perihelion is the second that proves it.
Yeah.
So right.
I'm glad you're getting to that, because, yeah, definitely there's going to be questions about this irrefutable evidence of the motion of Mercury's perihelion.
What is not well known is that an even more accurate prediction has been derived using Newton's law of gravitation with no modifications. That was done by Dr. Slusher back in 1984. There's a book on it. I think I might have brought that book if you want to look through it. It's a lot of mathematics went into it. But it's all based on this Newton's law of gravity. And when you do the calculation, it's even more accurate than Einstein's. Okay? But here's something else you don't know. When you take the Einstein and look at Mercury, you get this nice result. But it produced inaccurate predictions of the other planets' perhelions.
Mm.
In other words, why did he pick Mercury?
Yeah.
Now we know why. It just, you know, even a clock that's not running will get the time right twice every 24 hours.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
So, Doug, again, we did two shows on, you know, special relativity, general relativity, and Einstein. So I encourage the audience to go back and watch those. But that was eye-opening to me. You know, you always hear about the Mercury perihelion and how what a great prediction it was, and then you find out the rest of the story that, hey,
yeah,
Sir Isaac Newton, you can use his equations and not have to make time relative to get that stuff to work.
Exactly. So, yeah. And it just it reminds me again, Fred, of whenever you hear that we know everything about this or that, or that the science is settled, just take it with a grain of salt. That's all.
Exactly. So, Doug, did you have any shows in 2025 that really stuck out for you? I know some of the ones we've covered, we talked about them off air, and you love the ones we've already mentioned, but
those were all good shows. Yes, indeed. And then I have my list here. Probably my favorite show of the year was our interview with entomologist Tom Dykstra. He talked about agriculture and bugs. Well, he talked about bugs, but then it got into agriculture and just really fascinating stuff. And Fred, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the whole MAHA. Are you familiar with MAHA?
I don't think so.
No?
The MOHO? Isn't that a geological structure under the crust?
Not the MOHO, the MAHA. Anyway, okay. It's the Make America Healthy Again.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Political with the Kennedy kid with the. So this whole topic of regenerative agriculture that we discussed on the show with Dr. Dykstra now has a seat at the table with RFK and the other players in Washington, D.C., which that's just kind of embarrassing right there, Fred, to think that there are people in Washington, D.C. planning on farming, but here we are. And yep. And so anyway, that show was a bit prophetic of what would happen kind of with the whole MAHA thing. So I really liked that interview with Tom Dykstra, and it's led to some really interesting conversations off the air. So that's been really good.
Yeah, great show. I remember I was always a little bit skeptical of this whole organic food thing. Is it really that much better? If after watching that show, I did start buying more from the organic section, let's just say. He made a pretty compelling argument. So that was one of our better shows. Definitely encourage people to go back and watch that. Dr. Tom Dykstra.
Yeah, definitely go check that out. I love the show with Dwayne Bartley, who kind of brought us back to basics on why creationism is the foundation that we can build on to preach the gospel. And, you know, there's a reason we tell our kids the stories about Noah's Ark and Adam and Eve, because it is building a foundation, and why that is so important and how it's under attack. Dwayne's fantastic. And hopefully
we'll be having him back too. He's going to be giving a presentation at a large church. So we're praying that that still happens, because I know I had the opportunity to do something similar. And at like 2 weeks before the presentation, they found out what I was going to talk on, and the whole thing got canceled. And this was going to be before like over 1,000 people.
Wait, at a church?
Yeah, of course.
Was it like a Church of Scientology or a Christian Science church?
You know, apparently.
Was it a mosque? Well, no, the mosque probably would have let you in. No kidding.
It was probably on the conservative side for churches. So
there's
a lot of resistance to this, getting this truth out on science.
Yeah, the conservative side of evangelicalism, it has slid off into, pinko communism. Frankly, that's embarrassing. So a guy like Dwayne Bartley gets invited to a mainstream evangelical church, hopefully Dwayne does, but you have to kind of think about, careful what I say. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to swear but have to be careful what you say about creation and telling the truth about Genesis.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So we'll have him on after his appearance and we'll see how that goes. But yeah, Dwayne was a great guest. We had him in studio. Yeah. And we have our yearly shows with Daniel Hedrick.
AI,
the latest with AI. And we get some really good feedback from our listeners. And I know one of them, I love every year he sends us a nice gift and he provides his feedback and what his favorite shows were. And he always does mention Daniel Hedrick's show on AI. He also mentioned Dwayne's show and Sal Cordova, who's always great too. You know, we're missing a lot of people that have been fantastic.
Oh, a bunch. In fact, I wouldn't even
Brown
have time.
Joel Brown from CRS.
Yeah, Joel Brown. He made my other favorite top three was Royal Truman's takedown of Professor Dave. It was a review of Professor Dave's comments and some other people's comments, I think, about our whole Professor Dave encounter that we had back in 2024. Royal Truman did a fantastic job on Origins against Professor Dave. And then
Professor Dave took us on, right? He had a show. He's a real popular YouTube channel, and a lot of people know who Professor Dave is if you're on YouTube. He found out about our show and some of our criticisms of him, and he did a whole show on Real Science Radio. You know, we were honored. So Dr. Royal Truman, who actually has a PhD, and I believe from Michigan State, in chemistry, and he's worked in the industry, you know, for many years. Well, you can't get a better foremost expert in chemistry, and it was great to have him on. He had lots of challenges for Professor Dave that have never been answered, and we want to try to get Professor Dave, hey, are you going to address any of these points that Dr. Royal Truman made? Or are you going to just, you know, hide behind your desk and your YouTube channel and just hide behind all your atheist friends over there? Because Royal Truman, you know, it was interesting. One of the things Dr. Truman said was, we asked him, well, what did your colleagues think that, you know, you went to school with and whatnot? It's like, hey, we didn't really, it was almost embarrassing if anyone believed in evolution or the origin of life from chemicals, because it's just impossible. You can't make it happen.
Yeah.
And so it was interesting to hear, you know, in his world where he was in the secular world with both at Michigan State and as a scientist working for a major company doing, you know, science work with chemicals, that, you know, people just, it's embarrassing if you actually claim that life originated naturalistically. It's just like when some professor, some person says that Jesus Christ isn't a historical figure. Virtually every historian, even the most atheist, God-hating person, admits that Jesus Christ was a historical person. So sometimes people say the dumbest things just because that's what they want to believe. They'll believe anything despite the evidence if it fits their worldview. So
yeah. And if chemicals just fell together accidentally and did things, then we wouldn't really need chemists. And all the chemists realize that this is actually hard to make these chemicals do things. Yep. And so outside of the social scene, they think it's all ridiculous. But get them in a group at a dinner party and they'll probably just nod and go along with, yeah, evolution, sure. But yep. In the real world, come on. And by the way, that's what impressed me most about Dr. Truman. A PhD from a major university is something, but making a living in chemistry for 20 or 30 years, that really proves that you earned that PhD. And not only did you do a physical doctorate in college, but you did it in the real world. And which I don't know that Professor Dave has done that. He's mostly just pandered to the adolescent pride of silly children. And so he'll probably continue to do that rather than answer any of Royal Truman's challenges. But we do welcome Professor Dave anytime. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Now, well, I have honorable mentions. Andy McIntyre.
Hey, Doug, before we get to the honorable mentions, I can't forget to hit you up with the interesting fact of the week.
That's why I was jumping. I was jumping into those honorable mentions as fast as I could.
Yeah, to avoid.
But hey, if we're going to do the interesting fact of the week, the interesting fact of the week has a sponsor this week, and we want to thank Ben for sponsoring the show. Ben is so famous he doesn't even have a last name. Yeah, Ben, he wanted to sponsor the show so that we could tell the world how thankful he is that God has blessed him with life, and specifically with his wonderful wife, Heather, and his children, Isaiah, Darius, Asher, Justice, and Eden, who bring him so much joy. He's just thankful to God for his family, for life, and Fred. He says for Real Science Radio, too. That's Ben. Thank you, Ben.
Ben from Florida, I believe, right?
Oh, he's so famous, we don't even have to say where he's from.
All right. Okay, so here is the interesting fact of the week. So, Doug, what is the hardest natural substance in the universe? Not Earth, but the universe, in the entire universe. What is the hardest known substance in the entire universe?
Boy, I just want to say diamonds, but I know that's on Earth, so I'm just thinking that's got to be wrong because it's so obvious. But Fred, I'm just not familiar with all the substances in the universe, so I'm going to say we probably don't know.
Well, I don't know if we can go with that. So what's the hardest known substance in the entire
world? Oh, you see. So the word known is...
So you can't go with I don't know. You get buzzed on I don't know.
I don't know doesn't count. Darn it. Don't I get something for effort? The hardest known substance in the universe...
It's not Krypton.
So Fred, outside of diamonds, I'm completely clueless. I'm basically earthbound. I apologize.
Let's take a guess.
I don't know of any substances in the universe that are not from Earth, Fred. I haven't been out there, and I haven't really looked into it. So you really got me on this one. I can't even begin. I didn't know there were other substances whose hardness had been measured outside of the Earth. Oh, wait, meteor. Meteors? Did it land here on a meteorite? Did I get a hint?
So you said the correct answer earlier.
I did. Uh-huh.
Yep. Diamonds.
Diamonds in the... Oh, no.
I thought I'd get you with that, Doug, by making it the universe.
In the... Hey, that was pretty good, Fred. Talk about forcing somebody to think outside the box.
That it was too really easy to say it was from Earth, but because it's the only known, you know, we don't know of any other substances way out beyond our planet and solar system.
So. Well, that's a very effective and somewhat embarrassing way to make that point, that we just don't know. There might be some stuff out there that's harder, but we don't
know. Well, like Ryan says, my finger just has a lot of love for this red button on my panel here.
Oh, that was a good one, Fred. That was fun. Thank you.
Okay, so
thank
back
you,
to
sir.
Your
May I have another?
Yep. All right, so your honorable mentions.
First honorable mention would be Andy McIntosh, the professor. This was one of those shows, Fred, where you were away on assignment and you left me in charge of the studio. And I could not figure out how to get the cameras to work, but Dr. McIntosh gave a fantastic PowerPoint, and it was on the Bombardier Beetle, Fred, which I thought I was already familiar with. But not only did he blow my mind with all kinds of new information about the Bombardier Beetle and all kinds of other cool stuff, but just made a fantastic testimony for the creation and Jesus Christ. If you haven't seen that interview, it's phenomenal. Dr. McIntosh is a national treasure, global treasure. That was just fantastic. Rob Stadler and Change Tang probably tie for my second, just because.
Yeah, both were great.
Yeah. Rob Stadler, Change Tang, two certifiable genius level IQ people talking about confidence levels, evidence, data. If you're looking for something that can challenge a hardcore intellectual type atheist, those two shows are just phenomenal. And my other honorable mention, Fred, is you and Ryan doing the Creation Magazine review, because Creation Magazine does a ton of great work, and you and Ryan do a fantastic job presenting it, making it interesting, breaking it down, help making it a little more understandable and fairly entertaining.
Yeah, well, thanks. That was it's always a lot of fun doing those shows with Ryan. He does a great job. And, you know, we hope to get him more involved with shorts, at least, you know, to reach. The shorts really do a good job of reaching a wide range of people, a lot of the youth. So, yeah. And, you know, Doug, another show that I thought was great, and I don't think this is recency bias because that happens a lot, but our last show that we did in December with Dino Dave, his whole thing on giants, it was fascinating. We always learn something new on Real Science Radio as co-hosts. And I always thought, you know, some of the giants mentioned in America, that a lot of that was, all of it was just myth and, you know, fake science. And a lot of it is, but there's some of it that isn't, that's legit, that the Smithsonian knows about. And I would just say, go watch the show if you don't know what we're talking about, because Dino Dave is, he's a very careful scientist. He's not one of the, just like us at Real Science Radio, we don't want to promote anything that isn't really well established. There's some things that we'll introduce to the audience, ideas and theories and whatnot, but we're careful with what we present. There are a lot of frauds out there, and I thought that that was the case with giants, but there's interesting things about them that you don't know about that are legit.
Oh, absolutely. It was shocking, Fred. And it's one of the reasons I would say 2024, 2025 were the years that everybody really started to admit that an awful lot of conspiracy theories were simply undeniably true. And one of them, the Smithsonian. Anyway, check that show out if you want another reason to question whether or not the government is lying to you, which is, by the way, a very sad state of affairs. You know, God created the universe with government in authority, and government is actually a creation of God. God likes government. Government should be good and just and right, and God is going to make it that way. It's just a sad state of affairs that the government has become one of the most mistrusted institutions on the planet. And if you want to know why, one of the myriad reasons, check out the show with Dino Dave and find out what's been happening with the Smithsonian, which is a government-funded museum organization. And yeah, that was really fascinating stuff, Fred. I'll tell you what, helped me it debunked some of my own preemptory debunking that I had done in my own mind. Really good.
Yep. And, you know, I did want to mention Dr. Aaron Shoulders, a professor at CSU. That was a really good show. I mean, we're leaving out so much.
Yeah, Shoulders was great.
And we have so much great content coming this year. And again, we're asking people to help as much as you can to keep us on the radio. Unfortunately, we don't have a big church behind us, and we have to pay to be on the radio.
We don't have any NGOs behind us. We don't get any USAID money. We don't have any Somalians out there funneling cash to us, and none of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So, and also, I'll mention really quick, Frank, thank you for your kind sponsorship. Again, if you want to sponsor a show, go to store.rsr.org, and you can make a donation, sponsor a show. You can be a premier sponsor, a standard sponsor, a lackey sponsor.
Just, you can be a run-of-the-mill sponsor. Yes. You can be like Frank and Ben. You're so high up there, you don't even need a last name. Yeah. Everybody knows. It's Frank. Come on. You don't know Frank? Come on. Yeah.
And also, again, we're going to be promoting more products on the store. We're going to get more products up there for you here in the near future. Hopefully, again, the ninth edition of Walt Brown's In the Beginning should be coming out soon, and we'll definitely be providing that in the store. Yeah. We'll have that stocked in the store. So,
yes, and we will be pursuing other interviews with interesting people as events unfold here in 2026, now that we're all here together, right? Look around. Okay, yeah, we're here. Okay, great. And we meant to get to a news story. We meant to get to a news story, Fred, but we've run out of time. We don't have time to even get to the latest news, but that's okay because the news keeps coming and we'll keep following up.
That's right. So happy new year to everybody. All of you listening on KLTT in Denver and all those tuning into our YouTube channel and to, you know, all those other ways you can listen to a podcast. First time I had Ryan on, he's like, you're the only podcast host who doesn't know what a podcast is. So I think I know what it is now. It wasn't Bob Inyart, the very first person to do a podcast on the internet.
Well, I believe when the history is written, it will be proven that Bob Inyart was the first nationally syndicated talk show host to go exclusively online doing a podcast before there was an iPod and before the term podcast exists. I believe that is true.
Yep. That'll be interesting to find out.
Yeah, we'll see when we get to heaven and we get to review all the videotape.
Yep. All right, so for my co-host Doug McBurney, I'm Fred Williams of Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the